following is presented by CrewRoundtable.com Podcast Network.
Welcome to Illegal Touching with Captain Handsome, your guide to finding value, making picks, and getting paid. This is Illegal Touching with Captain Handsome.
Hey everybody, it's me. I'm back with another installment of Illegal Touching with Captain Handsome. Today we're going to be doing the week 3 handicapping picks. First thing I'm going to do, I'm going to go right ahead and just kind of go over last week really, really quickly. Our picks were 10 and 5 on the week, which is really good. That gives us 18 and 11 on the season so far. As you know, I'm not including the Thursday nights, so I'm not counting that towards the season total. Sometimes if I have a really big feeling about it, I post it on Twitter. Last night, I definitely didn't have any feeling about that game because I thought it was going to be terrible and it ended up being awesome. What a really exceptional game. Man, how crappy do all of those Los Angeles Ram bettors feel when they were up a ton and figured they were laughing, and absolutely not. And then at the end of that, every single Ram bettor was praying for that two-point convert. It was just nuts. What a game. Absolutely dynamite. Loved it. So anyways, we're 10 and 5 on the week last week in our picks, 18 and 11 on the season. If you were following along, our bets went 4-0. If you bet along with us, you would have made a bunch of money. If you follow me on Twitter and you added Atlanta -3 for 2 units, like I said to, you'd be 5-0. And that would be something that would be really, really nice. And you would have made a bunch of money on the year. Overall, our bets are up 7.5 units. I think it's 7.499. I round up because I'm cocky like that. If you tail my Twitter as well, and you tail that 2-unit play, you'd be up 9.32 units on the year. As I said, starting this week, last night, it was a really exciting game. I had no play on it, had no money anywhere. So we'll move right to this week. First game is an early one, so set your alarms, because at 9:30 a.m. Eastern time, the Baltimore Ravens will play the Jacksonville Jaguars in London. Baltimore's favored by 4. We know the Ravens haven't played anybody yet, and they still sit 2-0. The really good news is that after this week, they still haven't played anybody, because the Jacksonville Jaguars are not the team that everybody thought they were after week 1. They're a solid defensive unit, sort of. They came back to earth last week. They got crushed by the Titans. Don't let that garbage time, all those points in garbage time, fool you. Jacksonville was manhandled at home by the Titans last week. They beat them into a pulp because they're not that good a team. At the end of the game, they got some points. The Ravens are definitely going to go 3-0. They're going to cover these 4 points. I really like this. This will be on my card. The next game we're going to look at is Atlanta, who's giving away 3. And they're at Detroit. And I may have underestimated the Lions. They've looked really solid, beating 2 bad teams in the Cardinals and the Giants. The issue is the Falcons aren't either of those teams. The Falcons still have one of the best offenses in the league. And the defense, I know it's going to miss Beasley, but it's still pretty solid. And it has looked very, very good. And I thought it looked very good against the Packers until they started playing that ridiculous defense where they don't mind giving up some points here. And I hate that defense. Well, that's for another day. I think Tack McKinley is fired up to take that mantle and run with it this week. He's going to be filling in Beasley's slot. And Tack's an energy-filled. I mean, you saw him at the draft. He's an energy-filled guy. He's very fast. He's very quick. He fit perfectly in with this defense. And he has, looked good in the limited play that I've seen him play. The Lions, I think, are going to face a bit of a rude awakening when they face an offense that is well-oiled. I think that defense, which looked really, really good against the Giants, is going to look not so good against a really powerful Atlanta attack. I mean, great for Detroit. They've been good. Stafford's been great. I think this is the week where, maybe the slipper falls off. I'm taking Atlanta minus the points. Third game we're looking at is the favored Cleveland Browns. Yeah, I'm going to say that again so that you understand. The favored Cleveland Browns at Indianapolis. Cleveland is currently giving 1.5. I want to know, are we ready to live in a world where Cleveland is a road favorite? Yes, that's correct. Cleveland is a road favorite. Yep, I said that right. Look at it. Yep, they're on the road and they're a favorite. I don't like this game for a lot of reasons because I think it's going to be a really bad game. And I know I said I thought Thursday last night was going to be a bad game and it wasn't. But this is going to be a bad game. At the end of the day, I think Indy looked better with Jacoby Brissett. And I can't stomach even laying 1 point on the road with the Browns. How could you stomach laying anything on the road with the Browns? I have a hard enough time laying. I mean, if this game was in Cleveland and it was minus one, maybe I take Cleveland then. But at Indy, I can't do that. The last time Cleveland was a road favorite was 2014 in week 7. They were 4-point favorites over Jacksonville, and they lost by 18. In the last 20 years, Cleveland has been a road favorite 9 times. Probably for a reason. Do yourself a favor and take Indy, because that's what I'm doing. All right, so moving along, we're going to go Broncos minus 3 at the Buffalo Bills. Seems like an easy one. Upstart Broncos coming to Buffalo, having dispatched the Chargers and Cowboys, both in style. Defense seems to not have really lost anything, even with the players they lost. And the offense seems like it's on fire. I can't really argue any of this. The only thing I can point out is that neither the Chargers or the Cowboys really have good defenses. And the Bills somehow still do. I mean, they lost Gilmore. They lost Zach Brown. They lost a bunch of guys off that defense. And even after losing everybody, their D still looks pretty solid. I thought they did a great job against Carolina last week. All signs point to the Broncos smashing this. But for me, it's just stinks like a trap game. They're going to be looking ahead to week 4 against the Raiders, their first real game, first real test of the year. I think they might lose this one outright. I'm going to take Buffalo in the points. It didn't make my card, but it almost did. It almost did, and it's certainly ripe for a teaser. Next, we've got Houston visiting the New England Patriots. This line is exactly where I said it was going to be. The Pats are minus 14. I had a friend ask me last week, he said, what do you think the line's going to be, Houston visiting New England? And I think it's probably going to be New England by 2 touchdowns. It means it's not something I'm going to bet. The Texans' offense doesn't exist, and their D doesn't seem as dominant as it has been in the past. Obviously, losing Brian Cushing to that, suspension is, crushing for them. But I thought with the way Clowney played last year, he could really, help them, come around. And I think the Pats are still out to prove that week 1 was a blip. I'm never going to place a bet where I'm laying 14 points in an NFL game, or I haven't yet, and I don't think I ever will. There's just too many backdoor opportunities there. But I'm still going to take the Pats. They're still the best team in the NFL, regardless of the silly power rankings that rank other teams ahead of them. You want to know who's the best team in the NFL? Go to a betting site and look at who you get the worst odds on to win the Super Bowl. It's still the Patriots because they're the best. And the Texans are bad. They're very bad. The offense is bad. Their offensive line is bad. They're going to lose this game by a lot. I'm not going to bet it, but I'm picking the Patriots. Now we're moving on to the Miami Dolphins, who are a 6-point favorite in New York playing against division rival Jets. Again, let me remind you that tailing me on a Dolphins pick isn't always the best idea. I am not playing this one. This isn't one I'm going to tell you to tail me on. I believe the Jets fought really hard against the Bills, and I think they still have pride to play for, even if they're a really bad football team. Curses looked really great as their YR1, and McCowan guarantees they're not going to fall over and die. And games between the Dolphins and the Jets always seem to be close, and the Dolphins have, in the past, found ways to lose games like this. They didn't last year. I'm really hoping that Adam Gase is the guy who's turned them around. I think they're going to win it, but I see it being like a field goal, or maybe they're up by 10 and the Jets score a late touchdown because the Dolphins, do that awful prevent defense that everybody does at the end of the game. There's nothing instilling confidence in me. I think the Dolphins should win this game, but I'm taking the Jets because I'm getting 6 points at home. Next, we move to another divisional game, the New Orleans Saints, who have looked anything but good, facing the Carolina Panthers, who've basically been a tale of two teams. The Panthers' defense has looked excellent. They're calling it the number one defense in the NFL, even though it isn't. They haven't really played offensive stalwarts yet. They've played the Niners and the Bills. If Minnesota played the Niners and the Bills, they may not have given up a point yet. Although with Case Keenum last year, maybe they would have, or last week, maybe they would have given up some points. But what I'm saying is they haven't played anybody yet. And I know New Orleans got a great offense, but let's also remember that this is Drew Brees on the road, and this is the New Orleans Saints on the road. The New Orleans Saints are a bad road team. Carolina is trending in the right direction. Even last week, I thought the New Orleans defense was an absolute tire fire. Kenny Vaccaro is really in the doghouse. He's had two really bad games in a row. I know they're not going to have to deal with Greg Olsen. With that, they still have so many weapons on this team. I think that this is the week that Christian McCaffrey breaks out. New Orleans, bad defense on the road against a team that's got a ton of weapons and a ton of different options. I think the Panthers run them into the ground. I'm taking the Panthers -5.5. Moving forward, we're going. The Giants are visiting Philly. Philly is giving 6. And this is really Philly's chance to stake a claim in that battle for the NFC East. They fought hard against the Chiefs last week. I thought they played a good game, and they were in it. The Giants obviously haven't shown anything. They're not going to be able to get that offense moving until they improve that disgusting O-line. McAdoo says, you know, Eric, he's got confidence in Flowers, which is, I mean, just the most asinine thing I've ever heard, because Flowers is a disaster. Just a disaster. Philly's better than the Lions, I think. And they're not going to prepare for this like the Giants are a winless team. Philly wants to win this game. It's a divisional game. This isn't one of those look past it because they're 0-2 games. Philly's going to come prepared. And I think they're really, really going to handle the Giants here. You can't take the Giants until they show us something other than the garbage they've spewed out at us recently. So I'm taking Philly. Moving forward, we got the Steelers as a 7-point favorite at Chicago. And I think that this is another trap game. The Steelers next week are heading to Baltimore to play in a game that they really care about and really want to win. They might not be as focused playing a team they should clearly dominate. I don't think they will. The Bears are coming off being just getting shellacked by a really well-rested and upstart Bucks team. I think they're going to put in a better effort at home, and they're going to keep this one close. It might be a backdoor cover, or it might be one of those games where it's like 12-9, you know, because neither team, you know, well, the Steelers aren't interested. The Bears will be interested in a 12-9 game. But, you know, maybe it's 9-9 heading into the end of the game. The Steelers, or maybe it's, something 10-9 Chicago heading into the end of the game. The Steelers score a touchdown, win by 6. Or maybe the Steelers just stop playing defense at the end of the game and let Chicago backdoor cover. I don't know. I just feel like it's too much of a trap. I still think the Steelers win, but I think the Bears are going to cover that 7 points. Now moving forward, we've got Tampa Bay at Minnesota. This line was Minnesota -2.5, but from my understanding, and I'm just checking right now to see if it's been updated, because Sam Bradford... Yeah, they suspended the betting on it because Sam Bradford has been officially listed as out for the game, or I think maybe doubtful. And I just got that across my phone saying that Sam Bradford is doubtful. I'd already written up something completely different for this game to talk about. But the truth is this: if he's out, and I'm it's anywhere other than Tampa, it's anything Tampa 2.5 or less, -2.5 or less, I'm taking Tampa. If this goes anywhere to like a pick'em or anything like that, run, just jump on Tampa. Just jump on them. If Tampa is 2.5 or less, it will make my picks for the week. So pay attention to that. If you don't have to give up a whole field goal and you can have Tampa, who is a better team with a much, much better quarterback without Sam Bradford. I mean, they showed you how bad they are with Case Keenum last week. And I think that they're in big trouble if he starts again. Another reason you got to say, I mean, there's a quarterback out there who could be helping you. If you've got injuries, and if you're a team that thinks that they're a competitor, and you've got an injury at the QB position, why in the world is Colin Kaepernick still sitting on his couch? So, I can't give you an official play on this because I don't know what the line is. But I will tell you this, if the line is less than a field goal with Tampa as the favorite, or if somehow Minnesota is still the favorite, you just jump all over Tampa because I think they're going to win this game by a bunch now. Next we go Seattle at Tennessee. Tennessee is a favorite against Seattle, which is not something we would have said in the past, even in Tennessee. They're a 2.5-point favorite. And honestly, heading into the season, I would definitely be looking to play the Seattle money line here. But the problem is they haven't been able to get the sputtering offense going. And as a team that isn't spectacular on the road, I feel like you got to fade them here. Very well may be the game that they wake up and, and I expect them to wake up at some point this season. but I'm not going to bet on them until I see it. Tennessee did exactly what I told you they'd do last week, and they smashed the overrated Jags. Don't let the... I mean, the final score was still good, but, I mean, they really beat them to a pulp before they just started not caring and playing pre-bent defense. They've realized Henry's the better back, and they're using all of their many weapons. They've got so many weapons on this team, not to mention a great young quarterback in Mariota. They should be able to get past the Seahawks this week by at least three. I'm going to take the Titans. Next, one of the bigger lines of the week, since he's visiting Green Bay. Green Bay is giving 9 points, and I know I'm supposed to hate large spreads, but what I really hate is the embarrassing Bengals offense. How does someone who gets paid to run a team fail to understand the importance of an offensive line? For example, last week, the minute I heard Bakhtiari and Bulaga were out, I bet on the Falcons. This week, it looks like Bulaga's back. Jordy Nelson's supposed to be in. Mike Daniels and Randall Cobb are both going to be game-time decisions. I haven't heard anything about Bakhtiari, but when I looked, it looks like he hasn't practiced, so I'm assuming he's out. The good news is the Bengals still have a high school offensive line, and now Tyler Eifert is out too. So I'm going to be honest with you. Even if Bakhtiari and Bulaga were both out, I would still probably take Green Bay minus nine in this one, just because Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the world. I think they're going to rout. I think they're going to be sore after last week's tough loss to Atlanta. I didn't even think they played that poorly. I just thought Atlanta was really good. So I'm actually going to give 9 points and take Green Bay this week. I like that play. And it's also going to make my card. That's how much I like it. It's actually how much I dislike Cincinnati. Next, we got a good divisional matchup. Kansas City minus three, visiting the LA Chargers. It's one of those divisional ones that's, you know, everyone thinks it's going to be a tough-fought game, but I really think Kansas City seems determined to make a statement this season. The Chargers have shown they really didn't have a home field advantage there. I mean, the Dolphins don't get that many fans in Miami at a game, and they had half the stadium. I mean, and on top of that, the Dolphins ran all over that D-line. The Dolphins' offensive line, which I think is underrated, did a heck of a job, and Jay Ajayi beasted his way to 122, I think, yards. Imagine how much KC's even better running offense can do with that. I think Kansas City routes this one. I don't think it's as close as everybody says it's going to be. And all of those people who said the Chargers are going to win the division, how are they going to feel when they start 0-3? All right, second to last game, we got the Raiders at Washington. Raiders giving three in a road game to Washington. A Washington team I backed aggressively last week. And honestly, I mean, I'm glad that they covered, but I felt like they had a lot more challenges than they should have. I know I'm supposed to be fading the Raiders here. Seems like a trap game because I know they're heading to Denver next week. And the truth is, I don't see them playing maybe as well as they should, but I just think they're so much better than Washington. I mean... What this says to me is that in a neutral ground, the Raiders are 6 points better than Washington. And I don't believe that. I think in a neutral field, the Raiders are 14 points better than Washington. I think the Raiders are one of the best teams in the league. They're so deep on offense. Their defense has been playing really, really well. I mean, and Washington is sort of meh. I mean, they're going to finish 7-9, maybe 6-10, maybe 8-8 if they have a really, really, if everything works out for them. I mean, the best thing to happen to Washington is the Giants being so bad, so they probably won't finish last in the division now because the Giants are a disaster. Washington barely survived against the Rams in a game. They had that game in hand three different times, and they just kept crapping it away. Like I said, I think the Raiders are one of the best teams in the league. I don't think maybe they overlook this a little bit, but they still win by more than three, so I'm taking Oakland. And the last game, the Monday Nighters, Dallas minus three at Arizona. And I know everyone's down on the boys after last week, and they should be. So you know what they need? They need to play the team who almost lost to the Colts. Oh, good. It just so happens to be who they're playing this week. Arizona's in trouble. Without David Johnson, their offense can't move. They don't do anything. They don't seem to work. And their defense is giving up just chunk yardage against a terrible Colts offense. Dallas should get Zeke back on track this week. I really think they're going to smash this. I don't have a lot to say about it. I think Arizona's bad, and again, I'm going to believe they're bad until they show me something different. Dallas has looked decent against the Giants and pretty bad against the Broncos, but they're a better team than that. And they've had moments where they looked really good, and they've never looked as bad as the Cardinals look. So I'm going to take the Cowboys minus three. As far as bets, I've got 6 bets this week, and they're all one-unit plays. I don't love anything enough to make it more than a one-unit play. Actually, that's a lie. If, by any chance, if Tampa Bay is a pick'em or anything like that, I love that for 2 units. I don't have that on my card, though, because I don't know what the line is yet. But as far as my official card, I've got Baltimore -4 with the juice at 105 for 1 unit. I've got Atlanta -3 with the juice at -110 for 1 unit. I've got Green Bay -9 with the juice at 110 for 1 unit. I've got Kansas City -3 with the juice at 120 for 1 unit. And my 5th favorite, which is not a good sign. I don't like playing all favorites. You know how much I like Moneyline Dogs. But I've also got Oakland -3 with the juice at 110 for 1 unit. And then I played a 7-point teaser. I moved Green Bay to -2. And I moved New England to -7. I would play this for... I'll probably end up playing this for 2 units, but officially on my card, it's a 1-unit play. I think it's a really nice teaser. I think there's no chance Green Bay loses, so them winning by less than 2 is really unreasonable, and I don't think there's any chance New England lets their foot off the pedal. This isn't a game where, you know, they're not 7-1 and coasting. They're 1-1. If Miami loses, which they could, I don't think they will, but they could, and Buffalo loses, which they should, but I don't actually think they will, this puts the Pats back on top of the division. So they want to make a statement. They want to be back on top, and that's what they're going to try to do. So those are my plays this week. As always, guys, I like to say this, you know, at least once a week. Always remember to be responsible. Don't bet with more than you have. Because this, you know, this is fun. This is supposed to be fun. I do it with play money. Not play money, but I do it with, you know, extra money that I can afford to spend. Make sure you're doing that too. As always, if you have questions, I can be reached on Twitter at @CPT_handsome or at my email account at CaptainHandsomeSports@gmail.com. You can always find me on here on SoundCloud, or you can find me at CrewRoundtable.com. Make sure to check that out. Please follow if you enjoy listening to this, because I like to just count my followers. I'm a bit of an egotist, and I like to say, oh, look at that. 7 followers now. thanks so much for listening, and have yourselves a great day. We'll talk next week.